This is Radio Labor.
In St. Petersburg, Russia this week, leaders of the G20 group of countries have been meeting to discuss the world economy. They met at a time when 200 million people worldwide are unemployed. Representatives of the international labor movement attended the meeting as part of what's called the L20 group. Business representatives met as the B20 group. The focus of the labor representatives was on job growth. One of the labor leaders at the G20 summit was John Evans. Mr. Evans is the General Secretary of the Trade Union Advisory Committee of the OECD. The OECD, the Organization for Economic Cooperation and Development, is a body of mainly economically rich countries. Mr. Evans told delegates at the G20 meeting that labor has a three-part action program for creating economic growth and employment.
I'm representing the L20 here. We bring together between the ITUC, the International Trade Union Confederation, and my own organization, TUAC, the trade union organizations in the G20 countries, but also our positions and the priority recommendations that we're putting to the leaders don't just represent those countries, they're actually taking account of the views of the global labor movement. So it's a global position. And the message is one of trying to make sure that the leaders keep the focus on what can be done to raise growth and what can be done to create jobs. Jobs are no longer just a residual of growth, that if finance ministers get growth policies, then eventually jobs will come. That we've tried to break into that vicious circle by saying that actually creating jobs now can actually be a contributor to growth. It can restore demand, it can restore confidence. And the ITUC has been doing its own polling globally in the key G20 countries. And I think governments should be concerned because half of the workers we poll, working families, have either been directly affected themselves by unemployment in the last 12 months or have had actually a reduction of working time. A significant number have also had reductions in earnings and living power, living standards. So if we're trying again to get a broad-based sustainable recovery, then I think the messages that come out of this summit about trying to break into that vicious circle are crucially important in the period ahead. The initiative that the Russian presidency have taken in putting jobs and growth centrally on the agenda, and in addition, the innovation of having a joint meeting of labor and finance ministers, I think is a very important step forward. But the problem I think we have when we go to our own membership is the argument is, well, these are just words. What is actually going to happen on the ground? What make a difference to the real situation? So I think we need political will to actually put employment center stage in this discussion. We're looking at essentially three things that we hope will be done. First of all, in addition to some of the longer term questions about how to get structural improvements in the global economy, there's a question of what could be done in the short term. The latest forecasts suggest that maybe output has stopped falling in Europe, but it's not going to be sufficient to create jobs. And at the same time, we see output in the emerging economies stalling at the moment. So we have to look, I think, for action by governments to put some demand back in the global economy. We think that that can be done in a structurally positive way by trying to get agreement and action on infrastructure investment, new projects which can create jobs, ones which can also transform our economies to a carbon neutral future and a sustainable future as well. But we think a second plan of action, which we hope will be part of a jobs plan, is to tackle the longer problem of rising income inequality, which we've seen on a global basis. And just one example, in the United States in 2010, 93% of the rise in total income went to the top 1%. There's no way that's going to be a sustainable, broad-based consumption base for the future. In the longer term, we've been working with the B20 to see what we can agree on. We don't agree on anything, but with the colleagues, Mr. Yagbashi and Mr. Wilson, there are key areas which we do agree, which is about the need to raise the standards of quality apprenticeships, to try and tackle the issue of youth unemployment, and see if we can scale up what is good practice. We see on the union side our job of trying to ensure that actually young people are protected at the workplace, that apprenticeships are actually high-quality apprenticeships. And we look on business to now perhaps put their money where their mouth is and also raise the numbers of apprenticeships which are provided to broader numbers of workers. On the investment side, we're also looking to our own responsibility through our own pension funds to say let's move investment away from speculative capital to patient capital to try and ensure the money is invested in terms of long-term growth. So we see ourselves on the L20 side taking our responsibilities seriously in this area about what we're going to deliver. But as I said at the beginning, I think the key issue moving forward into the Australian presidency is not just what is in the communique, what are the words, but what action is now going to be taken to try and put those words into effect. So the action of the employment task force of trying to have monitoring, tracking of what commitments are made and then what happens is crucially important to try to give some confidence. And I think I'll finish with the word trust, that actually working people begin again to trust their institutions, to trust policymakers, maybe also to trust business and trust ourselves, that we're actually going to be deliver on some of the areas where we do agree and we can make a change and make an important difference in the future.